Once I had a little dog, I called him Cracker Jack. He had a spot around one eye that looked just like a patch. His legs were
well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in during your lunch hour. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts. And you can always join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And I'm so excited about our next guest because this is a program that Jane and I only found out about last week on air because we had Jen Dunn, who is the director of the Waukesha's District Attorney's Victim Witness Program and the star of that program in the district attorney's office here in Waukesha is Pepper the dog. And Pepper is a dog who has been trained to help victims of PTSD. And what we found out in that conversation is that the program that Pepper came from is called is from Journey Together Service Dogs. And it is a program that happens, one of the many parts of it happens at the Oshkosh Correctional Facility. And so we reached out to Brenda Cercioni. Did I say that right? Got it right. Who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. So welcome to the show, Brenda. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And so did I get that correct? Because I think when I was looking at the website, so there's part of the program that is in the prison, but it's also Journey Together Dogs is a larger training program and that is exists both in the prison and outside of it.
Yes, you're right. So the dogs, when they live at the Oshkosh prison, can't get enough exposure to things that would be needed for a service dog. So we have about 50 community volunteers that take the dogs out, give them exposure. Some of the dogs go to people's homes. Sometimes I take a dog and I take it to the grocery store. I take it to Lowe's or Menards or Walmart. They get rides in the car. They learn how to go through a car and a car wash. Pretty much anything you can think of that the average person would do that we want a service dog to be able to tolerate. The inmates at the Oshkosh prison, they spend their time training the dog, teaching it skills, and then our community volunteers are taking those skills on the road and testing them out to see how they do. So our volunteers do anywhere from a couple hours to a week or more that they take a dog and do different things with it. Other examples would be there's no squirrels in the prison. We don't have geese at the prison.
Yeah.
It's never completely dark. So the dogs don't learn how to just go for a walk in the dark. Because
that's so interesting.
Wow. Gosh, I didn't think, about that stuff.
Yeah. And so how long is the partnership with the Oshkosh Correctional Facility, how long has that been going on?
Journey Together was founded in 2015, but we've had a service dog program at the Oshkosh Correctional Institution since 2012. So we've had service dogs in training there. We started out working with a different organization for guide dogs. And I say we because I've been with the program for the full 10 years. Part of the way through, we figured out that we had more capacity, more inmates were interested in participating in the program than the guide dog school was going to be able to put at our institution. So we created the sister program. Over time, our program grew. The guide dog school moved themselves to a different prison in the state of Wisconsin. So we just grew and we filled up all of the spots. We currently have about 12 to 14 dogs. Our capacity is 16 right now. And then we have 43 inmates that are participating in the program, either as primary handlers or we call them sitters, so that when the primary handlers aren't available, the sitters take the dogs. So the dogs are learning to work for a lot of different people. Over time, as our primary handlers graduate out of the program, maybe get moved to a different institution or get released, the sitters become primary and we have new people that come in.
And so how did this, because it sounds, once I heard about it, I think both Jane and I go, and especially how Jen talked about it as far as the people who are in prison and the part of their rehabilitation is training these dogs that then go on to often work with either, you know, people who have PTSD, which is sometimes I think we hear a lot of that with veterans, but also people who were victims of crimes. And was that intentional as far as even for the inmates, like their healing journey and knowing where these dogs will, who these dogs will end up helping? Or what was kind of the origin of why it was important to have this be a program that was available for inmates?
So we've seen incredible dedication. Journey does not pay the inmates. The inmates are considered volunteers for the program. So they sign up, they're donating their time. They have to attend training classes. They work with the dogs in between. They're incredibly dedicated to the dogs. What we found in other states across the country, the recidivism rate goes down for people that have participated in a dog training program.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
Our focus is to try to help them gain job skills. So when they leave the program, they may not handle dogs, but they will have learned how to do goal setting. They will have had opportunities to create training plans. They've worked with each other to train new people that have come into the program. So those are adult education skills as much as they are dog training skills. To get into the program, they fill out a written application. They go through an interview process. They go through an onboarding process. And then all steps through the program, they're writing reports on the dogs. If a dog is having a training challenge, they'll sit down and they'll build a train. They'll write up a training plan on how they're going to address the dog's challenges. So our goal is for them to have opportunities to practice skills that will help them. We talk about training at the prison is a team sport. It's not just about one person and one dog. So interpersonal communications, giving and receiving feedback, all key elements to what we're trying to accomplish with the dogs.
It just sounds so incredible. Our guest this half hour is Brenda Cercioni, who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. She's responsible for training inmates, clients, and for dog selection within that program. And so when it comes to the actual, how long, I guess I've never actually answered this. So how many years does it take for a dog from being from a puppy to begin a certified service dog?
So we will take dogs as young as 8 weeks old into the program.
Wow.
We can, we won't place them till they're about 2 years old. And it really isn't about how long it takes them to learn skills as much as it's how long it takes them to become mature. And we know what their personality is going to be like. So just like a human, you need an opportunity to grow up, and not every career is for everybody. It's true as dogs as well. If we take an adult dog, which on rare occasions we do, but if we take an adult dog, we can have the skills put in place in about 6 months. So
wow.
Our puppies take a lot longer. And in the general, if we weren't dealing with a prison program, we wouldn't have a dog trained up that fast. These dogs are training 6 days a week with some sort of training experience, you know, deliberate training experiences, but everybody's dog is training all of the time. Every time they're sitting next to you, every time you take them for a ride in the car or you put their leash on, it's all training. The dogs are learning all the time. The advantage I have is I have 43 people that are using the same commands, the same terminology, and the same expectations. So from a dog's perspective, it's a very consistent world, and they can learn a lot faster because of that.
Brenda, you mentioned how important it is for the inmates to develop skills that are going to help them when they get out and hopefully help prevent them from going back in. I'm wondering about the emotional healing of working with animals, because I always assume that for some inmates, they came from really broken places and are very broken people. And I'm curious about the emotional healing that they get out of this kind of program.
Yes, they will talk about how much the program means to them, how dedicated they are, how the dogs have helped them. Some of them have had family members die while they're incarcerated, and the dogs have helped them through those kinds of things. It's also kind of an interesting experience from the standpoint of every 3 months we rotate the dogs. So whatever dog you have, you can expect you're going to get a different one in 3 months. And everybody says, oh, that's so that they don't get so attached to the dog. And it's really not. The reason we do it is when a dog succeeds, I have a lot of people that have been involved in the training of that dog. And as a team, we have a dog success on it. Likewise, if a dog is having some sort of a behavior issue, or, you know, they're just not understanding something we're trying to teach it, by giving them different handlers, sometimes the people just approach it different. And just like humans don't all learn exactly the same way, that's true with the dogs too. And by rotating the dogs, I can find holes in the training. And then one team to the next team can work on helping, you know, fill the hole in with the proper behaviors and stuff. So rotations are a lot about giving, giving up a dog, taking in another dog. And, you know, everybody who has a dog at home knows their dog is the best dog in the world. So now I have to give up the best dog in the world for a different dog. One of the other unique parts about our program is when a dog is ready to graduate, the person who's receiving the dog or the organization has the opportunity to come along with me into the prison and receive training from the inmates. So they have a chance to see where their dog is going to go, and they have a big hand in helping train the person how to handle the dog for the ultimate success. So while it's always bittersweet when a dog graduates because you're so proud that they're graduating, and at the same time, you hate to see them go, knowing where they're going, knowing the change that they're going to do in the world makes it a lot, more worthwhile. At the same time, they're getting an opportunity to practice their education skills and communication skills and organization and planning and everything that goes into teaching any class anywhere.
I'm so happy Jen mentioned this. This is so incredible. And so for people who don't know, because I think, as you mentioned, there's guide dogs, there's service dogs. Is there a different classification of specially trained dogs that are fall outside of those two categories?
So people have a pet, right?
Yes.
They're a great dog, right? You can take them for a walk. There's certain stores that you might be able to take them in that are considered pet-friendly stores. Then another classification of a dog is a therapy dog, which my dogs are therapy dogs. So they're registered. I've gone through testing to demonstrate their skills. I can take them into a hospital or an assisted living location with permission of that organization, and we can go see elderly people. We can go see people in the hospital that are recovering from an illness, but they don't get to go to a grocery store. They don't get to go to a restaurant. Service dogs that are trained, and they, under the Americans with Disabilities Act, have the rights that they can go to certain public locations. So they can go to a restaurant, they can go to the grocery store. Those are working dogs with a very specific intent. For example, Pepper, we started by raising her to be a service dog. And what we found is Pepper had this extra sparkle or this extra interest in people beyond the person holding the leash. As a result, she became a facility dog. The best, closest example to that is she's a therapy dog because she is given approval to go to certain places. She doesn't get to go to restaurants. She doesn't get to go to grocery stores where the average population might take a service dog. When you see a dog in public, when they're a service dog, no matter how much we all want to pet them, you don't want to be petting those dogs. Those dogs are working, and you take their attention away from their handler.
Yeah.
And that's what we want the dog to do.
Well, we're going to take a break, but Brenda's going to be here when we come back because I still have so many questions. I'm so fascinated and encouraged by this entire program. And also, maybe I'll have a couple questions of maybe how I can train my dog. Does an old dog, can they learn new tricks? We don't know, but I'll ask you when we come back. Our guest is Brenda Sercioni, who is the director of training for and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. She will be here with us when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The best friend that I ever had was Cracker Jack, but he was more than that. A playmate, a companion, he was love and understanding. That was Cracker Jack. The best friend that I ever had was Cracker Jack, but he was more than that. Everything a kid could want I had in Jack.
My dear, though I spend my days in conversation, please remember me. Martha, my love, don't forget me.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Our guest this half hour is Brenda Cercioni, who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. And Greg, you had a question.
I had two questions. Okay. One, with regard to service animals, you were saying in the earlier segment that when, you know, as I know personally, you don't pet, you don't do anything. That's their job. They're working. When they get home with the parent, the dog parent, is it sort of like, can they play? Can they, you know, are they always on the job, or like when they get home in a safe surrounding, can the parent and the dog play around, wrestle, you know, throw catch, you know, like that kind of thing? Because I only see service dogs in the terms of working, like they're straight ahead doing their job.
Yeah. When a dog is off duty, their vest comes off. It's kind of like a person when you come home from work, you change out of your work clothes and you change into your sweatpants or your sweatshirt or whatever you're going to do. And they get to be dogs.
Gotcha.
There's a few things that they won't get to do. For example, if you're eating supper at the dining room table, you're not going to feed them off of the table.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them to think that when you go to a restaurant, they're going to sit and beg and eat off of a table. So they lose their right to beg at the table. they lose their rights to be on a lot of furniture. And they trade those rights for getting to be with their person pretty close to 24/7.
Gotcha. And the other question I had, and this comes from an experience I had at my other job where we had somebody with a service dog at our work. This dog seemed very anxious, was running around. And then at one point someone said, can I pet the dog? It was wearing a service vest and said, can I pet your dog? And I was like, oh my God. And the guy's like, yeah, go ahead, pet the dog. I'm like, is this either a service vest that was bought online to get a dog into an establishment, or did he undo the training? Is that possible to undo the training of a service animal?
It's very much a thing about undoing training of a service animal. So different service dog schools have different requirements. And in the United States, you're also entitled to be able to train your own service dog. So different people have different skills. When you see somebody with a dog with a vest on, it's important to not make any assumptions about it. So I'm not, your example, I'll come back to you, but I just want to talk in general. Our people who are in a wheelchair that receive one of our service dogs are never challenged in public. Nobody ever says, is that a service dog or not? Because they see somebody with a dog and they're in a wheelchair and they make assumptions, or if they were obviously blind. People who have PTSD look like everybody else. They don't have any outward physical disability. Similarly, somebody who has diabetes and has a diabetic alert dog or a hearing dog may not look to us like we, you know, they don't meet the standard of what we think a dog for somebody who with a disability should look like. So it's important not to judge it because you don't really know what's going on. The Americans with Disabilities Act would say, though, that a dog in public has to be on, a service dog has to be on leash unless the task that it performs for you can't be done while it's on leash. So you should not see a dog off leash. That's a service dog in a public setting under 99.9% of the cases. The rare exception would be a dog that's trained to clear a room for somebody with PTSD. So the person isn't comfortable going into a room unless the dog has gone through the room first. The dog can't do that if it's on leash. Journey does not allow our clients to have the dogs off leash for anything because we are concerned about the safety of the dog. And we believe that we can teach other skills to address wherever that need would be. Sometimes you're also dealing with young dogs. In the state of Wisconsin, the laws are such that a service dog in training has the same public access rights as a fully trained service dog. That's what allows me, as well as our community volunteers, to take the dogs into a restaurant. we don't happen to fit the, in most cases, we don't happen to fit the definition of somebody who's disabled. But if we couldn't take the dogs in those places, we couldn't train them for it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So sometimes you're going to see a young dog. Sometimes you're going to see a dog that's just misbehaving. They are animals, and they can be once in a while rotten. And that's
it ended up throwing up at the place I worked.
Oh gosh. What does demand look like right now for the service dogs? As far as, is there a wait list or is there an excess supply of ready to serve dogs?
We should be so lucky to have an excess list of ready to serve dogs. There's always a wait list. Journey does this a little bit different too. We don't do first come, first serve. We do best fit.
Okay.
So if the person that's on the top of our list happens to be very athletic and they're a runner and very active and
I was
using you for my image. Yes. Our dog is more of a couch potato dog. That's the first one. We aren't going to do that match.
Yeah.
Some dogs adore kids. Some dogs are really neutral about kids. So if it's going to a family with kids, we want to think about that. Cats, other dogs in the house. But like I said, we don't do first come, first serve because we don't feel like we're doing a service to the family or to the dog.
Gotcha. So final question, because we only have about 2 minutes left. I feel like there's so many more questions I have.
Yeah.
But for people who have been moved by this segment and would like to either learn more or become a volunteer or donate, where could they learn more to support Journey Together?
You can find, we have a website, journeytogetherservicedog.org. You can also find us on Facebook. And I think I sent you a link. There's a TEDx, an Oshkosh TED Talk done by somebody talking about the Journey program and what it means to them to participate in the program. So that would be another way to learn about what we do.
Absolutely. And we'll link all of that to today's show blog, and we'll share everything on here because I think this is just incredible. And I will ask, can an old dog learn new tricks?
Absolutely.
Okay. How do I do that?
You're staying for the rest of the show.
In 40 seconds.
In 40 seconds, because Cliffy, he'll sit. He will not shake. He just, as a chihuahua, he just shakes his whole body when you say shake. So Brenda Cercioni, thank you so much. This was so fascinating. This is an incredible program. I would definitely suggest anyone who loves animals, learn more about this, support in the ways that you can, because you're doing both a service for the people who get the dogs and the people who are training the dogs. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.